You have your Bibles, or if you have your Bible app, I want you to turn to the book of Numbers, chapter 25, for us to consider this afternoon. Numbers chapter 25, if you don't have a physical Bible, or if you don't have a Bible app, the monitors, the projectors are projecting the scriptures. We're going to be reading a little bit today, and I'm going to ask for you to bear with me. We'll be jumping a little bit on some verses. So we'll begin with verse 1. Now Israel remained in Acacia Grove, and the people began to commit harlotry with the woman of Moab. They invited the people to the sacrifices of their gods, and the people ate and bowed down to their gods. So Israel was joined to Baal of Peor, and the anger of the Lord was aroused against Israel. And the Lord said to Moses, take all the leaders of the people and hang the offenders before the Lord out in the sun, that the fierce anger of the Lord may turn away from Israel. Verse 6, and indeed one of the children of Israel came and presented to his brethren a Midianite woman in the sight of Moses and in the sight of all the congregation of the children of Israel who were weeping at the door of the tabernacle of meeting. And when Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the priest, saw it, he rose from among the congregation and took a javelin. Can somebody say javelin? In his hand. And he went after the man of Israel into the tent and thrust both of them through, the man of Israel and the woman through her body. So the plague was stopped among the children of Israel. And those who died in the plague were 24,000. Now the name of the Israelite who was killed, with the Midianite woman, was Zimri, the son of Salu, a leader of a father's house among the Simeonites. And the name of the Midianite woman who was killed was Cozbi, the daughter of Zur. He was head of the people of a father's house in Midian. I've entitled this thought, Kill That Which Kills You. Kill That Which Kills You. If you can, would you raise up your hands and bow your heads and let's go before the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for your presence. We thank you for your precious spirit that's in this place right now. I pray, Father, that you would anoint my lips of clay to speak your word with all boldness and with all authority. And I pray for every person that's sitting in these pews right now, Father, that this word will land and that the enemy would not take it away, Father. I pray this in your precious name. I pray against any spirit of distraction. I pray against any spirit that wants to contend with your spirit, Jesus, that wants to rise up against you in the precious name of Jesus. Would you clap your hands? You may take your seats. If I can give you some context revolving this story, it's one of those stories that as you begin to read the scriptures, as you begin to read the Bible, it's one of those stories that for me was one of the ones that jumped out. There's some stories of in the scriptures that just begin to jump out at you. And the children of Israel were judged to wander in the wilderness for 40 years because of their disbelief and did not want to go into the promised land. And to me, the Israelites kind of shocked me because they were one of the few people who in history got to see the hand of God move as a witness. They were able to see the mighty works of God plaguing Egypt with the 10 plagues and seeing the parting, see the Red Sea parting. And the world heard about these people being delivered by their God. What a sight to see. And despite everything that they have seen, we get to this city in Acacia Grove. And we find that this is the last city. This is a very important city because it's in this city that would be the last city where the Israelites would camp before they would finally cross over to Jericho. They would cross over the Jordan to conquer Jericho. If you look at a map, you will see that Jericho is to the west, then it's the Jordan River, and then you have Acacia Grove to the east. And now they were in their last year before the conquest of the land. And in this story, we find it's a very unfortunate story because we find the Israelites, while remaining in Acacia Grove, were committing harlotry with the woman of Moab. The word of the Lord went forth, as we just read, and Moses and his obedience instructed every one of the leaders to kill the men who were joined and hang them up under the sun, visible to everybody, visible to the Israelites who possibly were contemplating in their hearts or contemplating in their minds to join this feast, to give in to the temptation of all these feasts that were happening. And I can only think in the minds of the Israelites being so close to the end of their 40-year judgment, being so close to be able to enter into the land that God has promised them, how powerless the Israelites who were weeping at the door of the tabernacle must have felt. One brother goes to the feast and eats of the sacrifices, and maybe a cousin or maybe a father or maybe a brother goes and falls into temptation and commits harlotry with the woman of Moab. And one begins to wonder, how is it possible that the children of Israel, hearing and seeing the miracles that God performed in their former life, hearing the story of their God judging Egypt with the 10 plagues and parting the Red Sea open, how is it possible, knowing that they were one day going to cross over into the Jordan, why would they now just compromise? Why would they now just let their guard down? And it possibly, this is just a theory, Israel may have possibly let their guard down because the Moabites were family. They were descendants of Lot, which was Abraham's nephew. And I mean, we begin to let our guard down when we come into the face of temptation, right? Imagine how the Israelites must have felt. They're just family, right? We probably shouldn't be too harsh. We probably shouldn't be rude guests because they're, after all, they are just family. We shouldn't, you know, we're not even in the promised land. And so I begin to wonder, why would they let their guard down? And so we find in the scripture a man named Zimri as a leader in his tribe. And just like a leader in his tribe, he heard the commandment from Moses. And like Zimri, we all have a responsibility, whether or not, to obey the word of God, church. We all have a responsibility, whether it's the choice is completely up to us. Every day that was we read the scriptures, or every day that we hear the preacher preach the word of God, we all have a choice to obey or not to obey. It's not something that's going to be automatic like a robot or like on autopilot. We have a choice, a decision to make every day, whether to, if I'm going to obey the word of God or am I not going to obey the word of God. Whether you're working at a job and you must deal with that naggy coworker, we have a choice whether to sink to their level or not. It may be a temptation to gossip about someone we don't particularly like or not. The choice is completely up to us as believers, whether we will take heed to the word of God, which leads me to my first point, to take care of your obedience to God. To take care of your obedience to God. And so something unfortunate happens. The Bible doesn't necessarily tell us what happened when Zimri, on his way to bring the offenders, but the only thing we know was that Zimri presented to his brethren a Midianite woman. Zimri fell into temptation, and you were on your way obeying the word of God, Zimri. You were on your way to do what God has said through his servant Moses. So what happened? And so the Bible declares that he presented to his brethren a Midianite woman in the sight of Moses and in the sight of all the congregation of the children of Israel. Partial obedience, church, is not merely enough. Partial obedience is not going to cut it. We must obey the word of God in its totality. Zimri, in direct violation of the word of God, brought back a Midianite woman from the Moabites. Not only did he violate the direct word of God, but he brought her in the sight of Moses, where Moses could see. And I can only begin to think what Moses must have, run through Moses' mind, because he's like, probably, here we go again. I'm going to have to now intercede for these people. I'm going to have to intercede for this plague is coming around and it's killing the people. Now I'm going to have to intercede so that God would spare the Israelites. And amid the plague that was going around, this was a very bold move. Zimri really had the nerves to stand before the congregation without shame and present this illegitimate relationship before the congregation. If we're not careful with taking care of our obedience, of obeying the word of God in our totality, we too, church, can fall into temptation. We can come to this house with our sin and never bring it before God. We can be good at hiding it. Somebody said we can be Oscar actors, win Oscar awards because we're so good at acting. We can be so good at hiding our sins. And what's worse, we can hide it, but then there's also some people that may know about it, but there still be no conviction of the sin. And so here's a warning. The moment sin stops bringing shame, when we come into the presence of God, immediately that should ring the spiritual alarms in our spirit, because it is a cause to worry. It can be a habit we picked up as we were walking and doing the will of God in our daily lives. Maybe we were trying to teach our kids to pray and read the word, and we end up idolizing TV shows that are demonic or pervert the mind of the viewer. Maybe it's a commitment to the Lord. God, I will read more of your word this week. Amen. God, I will pray more. But then when we look at it, we get our screen report. At the end of the week, we find that we spent 10 hours on our screens, on our phones. And so we pass hours, and maybe it's living with the sin of pornography and still living with that regardless of people knowing or not. It's all a choice. Or maybe it's an issue of pride. Maybe we want to prove a point to someone else that we know, and we end up compromising the truth and partake in a sinful act. And so we must take care of our obedience to fulfill the word of God when his word goes forth, church. John chapter 14, verse 24 said, Jesus says, if you love me, keep my commandments. If you love me, keep my commandments. It doesn't say, Jesus doesn't say, if you love me, partially obey. It doesn't say, listen to me 75% of the time. It's keep my commandments. So we all have a choice. So Zimri presents a Midianite woman and goes into his tent thinking he was going to get away. However, when we see this man named Phinehas enter the picture, verse 7, now when Phinehas saw it, he rose from among the congregation and took a javelin in his hand. And he went after the man of Israel into the tent and thrust both of them through. So the plague was stopped among the children of Israel. And those who died in the plague were 24,000. Phinehas was among those in the congregation who were weeping. The Israelites had one more year before they were able to see God's promise come through and enter into the land that God has promised them. The Bible declares that the congregation was weeping. The congregation was weeping. And we can only begin to imagine how much they had in their hearts. The Israelites saw the plague consuming the children of Israel. This probably in the mind of the Israelite brought back many memories of how God dealt with them in the past when they murmured. They probably remembered about the rebellions, the murmurings of the past, or the judgment of God over them. And so they must have prayed, God, don't let us wander in this desert for the sins of the men who are committing harlotry with the Moabites. God, don't judge me for the sin of my brother. I don't know if this has been a prayer of somebody. Maybe somebody has been interceding, but this is what happened in the Israelite camp. And so this leads me to my next point. Your zeal for God prompts you to deal with your sin. Phinehas has turned my wrath from the children of Israel because he was zealous with my zeal among them, so that I did not consume the children of Israel in my zeal. And it was here at the tabernacle where we found Phinehas, and it was here at this prayer meeting where among his brethren which were weeping that Phinehas arises and takes action by grabbing the javelin and goes to kill Zimri and Cozbi. And immediately the plague stops. Immediately people stop dying, but not before 24,000 Israelites die. And We must learn from this posture of Phinehas because, church, it's in the prayer room and it's in the reading of the Word of God where the zeal for God is built. It's where it's developed. There's something very important here that the word zeal here references that of a jealous spouse, like the arduous jealousy of that for a spouse. So because Israel was joined to Baal of Peor, Israel adopted, Israel put them as their God. And Phinehas was not going to let this slide. Like the 24,000 dead Israelites, when we bring these sins to our lives, can I tell you that things are going to begin to die? The reverence for God begins to die. Our prayer life begins to die. Our zeal for the Lord begins to die. The reading of the word and the fervency behind it begins to die. The spiritual conversations begin to die. Reverence for the King of Kings begins to die. And all these things begins to die. And maybe you noticed and maybe you haven't, but there comes a point in our life as a Christian where we say that enough is enough. I've neglected the word of God for too long. I've been disobedient for far too long. I've entertained that ungodly relationships or friendships for far too long. I've been having those ungodly conversations for far too long. I've been dealing with this depression for too long. I've been dealing with this addiction for too long. I'm done having things die around me that matter to me, all because this sin has entered my mind and I haven't brought it out and I have not killed it. It doesn't matter if I'm the busiest person on the planet. I have to make time to seek the face of God. We must get to a point where we say enough is enough, and we must grab the javelin and kill Zimri and Cosby that are dwelling in our tents, church. The name Phinehas means mouth of brass. Brass was a metal. More than that, it was a symbol of insensibility, of sin and strength. And Phinehas was jealous for the obedience of God. There's power in the things that we name, church. There's power in the things that we name. Phinehas was jealous for the obedience of God. At some point, you get tired. And the effects of sin and seeing things just die around you. I don't know if somebody's been there where you start to see these things just die around you. And it has to get to a point where you say no more. Because this zeal can only be found in the presence of God. This zeal can only be birthed in the presence of God. And when God wanted to expose the sin for the rest of the Israelites to see, ain't the offenders out in the sun. We may think, church, we may think that we are exempt. We may think that we are exempt, that this doesn't apply to me. That this doesn't apply to me. And I can say that I'm the most important person in the room. But church, we are not exempt. We're not exempt. This is going to require for us to do the hard things. And I can only begin to think how Phinehas must have felt when he thrusted that javelin. And looking into the eyes of Zimri, a brother who he thought he was going to be able to cross over the Jordan and conquer the land of Jericho. I can only begin to think, like, why, brother? Why did you give it? Why did you not heed to the word of God? Why did you let your guard down, Zimri? Why did you let your guard down? Why did we let our guard down, church? Maybe it's a question that we must ask ourselves. Why do we let our guard down for the things that may seem friendly or the things that may seem familiar? Some things must die in order for us to cross over into the next level. And it's very interesting because the Midianite woman named Cosby, the name Cosby means my falsehood. It means my lie. In the zeal of God, we cannot let our lies live in the face of God. We have to come with full obedience and with full honesty before the presence of Jesus, church. We must deal with them and get that same spirit that Phinehas had. Jesus said in John chapter 4, verse 24, "For God is a spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in..." Worship him in spirit and in truth. Which leads me to my last point. Your zeal for God causes you to drive out your temptations. Your zeal for God causes you to drive out your temptations. I'm going to invite the piano player to come up as we're getting ready to conclude. Man, time flies fast. When Zimri was killed by Phinehas, there's no doubt that this took a lot of courage. This is not something, church, that's easy, to kill something within ourselves. It's not easy. It takes a lot of humbling. Phinehas, in his zeal, the Bible declares, "Behold, I give to him my covenant of peace, and it shall be to him and his descendants after him a covenant of an everlasting priesthood, because he was zealous for his God and made atonement for the children of Israel." I'm going to tell you something, church. Phinehas was never guaranteed this prior to killing Zimri and Cozbi. He was never guaranteed it. He was never told that he would receive a covenant of everlasting priesthood. He was never told that God was going to bless him. He never received that word. What Phinehas did was purely out of his zeal and for the love of God. And let me tell you that some of these things that you're dealing with, they're going to be the most private battles. They're not going to be something that's going to be public and for all of us to see, to deal with, to kill Zimri and Cozbi, because when Phinehas did it, he did it in their tent. So some of these things are going to be the most private battles that we have. Killing Zimri and Cozbi is not going to be easy. It's going to cost us something. And it's our love for God, church. It's our love for the things of God. It's our love for his word, church, that's going to prompt us to say, "This will die. This will die. I'm not going to let this live. This bad habit must die. My quick temperness must die. My bitterness must die. My love for money must die. My slothfulness must die. These things must die." Clap your hands, church. The Lord spoke to Moses saying, "Harass the Midianites and attack them. Listen, for they harassed you with their schemes, by which they seduced you in the matter of Peor and in the matter of Cozbi." Harass the Midianites. What? Why would God instruct us to do something like that? Right? Isn't our God love? I'm going to tell you something, church, that our God is a jealous God, and our God is an all-consuming fire. And just as he is jealous for his people, God is jealous for his church. So when God tells Moses to harass the Midianites, it's because they caused them, listen, it's because they caused them to fall and to sin against the King of Kings in the matter of Baal of Peor. It is never the intention of God for us to let the things that cause us to stumble to live. It is not the intention of God for us for the things that causes us to stumble into temptation or to fall into temptation, for those things to live in our lives. They have no business being there in our lives, church. My brother and my sister, we are called, but it is the plan of God for us to drive out those things that causes us to fall into temptation. We have labored far too long, especially if we have been a Christian faith, and the Christian faith, we've been a Christian for most of our lives. We have labored far too long and made it this far into this life, into this timetable, for allow these sins to be in the camp. And we are called to bring out and drive out those Midianites in our lives that causes us to stumble. We're called to drive out and to harass the Midianites that causes us to sever the relationships that we have with God. I don't know if somebody believes that with me. There's some things that we're going to have to kill. There's some things that we're going to have to let go of. Yes, it's going to hurt, but we must kill them, because God instructed Moses to harass the Midianites. That's the attitude that God had. These things can't be. Moses, these people can't dwell here. These people that were offending, that were committing harlotry with the woman of Moab, these men can't be here. And so it comes a point where, you know, where we have to get to a point where it says, again, I'm done letting these things kill the things that should matter to me the most. I'm done letting sin kill my time with my family. Amen, church. I'm done letting sin rob me of my peace. Amen, church. I'm done letting sin hold me back from fulfilling God's purpose in my life. And look, it may look like deleting Instagram if we must. It may look like we may have to delete Snapchat. It may look like we have to probably cut that business relationship. It may look like we have to say no to TV. It may look attractive. I'm going to tell you something. The worship of Baal of Peor looked attractive to the Israelites. It wasn't something that looked ugly. It wasn't something. It was something that was mechanical. It was something that looked beautiful. The worship of Baal of Peor, that was something that looked appealing to the eyes. It looked appealing, and just like those things looked appealing, I'm going to tell you that the kingdom of darkness, the kingdom of Satan, is not going to present sin as unappealing. He's going to present things as appealing to the eye. He's going to present things that are going to look like, oh man, I want to do that. Has anybody been there? I want to do that. I want to say that. I want to hear that. I want to watch that. It's not going to look ugly. It's going to look attractive. Harass and kill the Midianites, Moses. Don't let them in your house. Make the hard decision. We must grab like the spirit that Phinehas had and kill Zimri and Cozbi in the tents. Make the hard decision. Break that relationship. If it causes you to compromise your salvation, if it causes you to compromise your relationship with God. Mark chapter 9 verse 47 says this. Jesus says this. And if your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out. For it is better for you to enter into the kingdom of God with one eye rather than having two eyes and be cast into hellfire. Man, don't you just love that the scriptures just make it plain? It's going to cost something. It's going to cost something, church. It is better to enter into the kingdom of heaven maimed with one arm missing than to have both arms and to be cast into hellfire. I'm going to invite you to stand as we begin to conclude this message. Just like Phinehas, who did not know what was going to happen. How many of you want the blessing of God over your life? How many of you want the approval? Imagine to be told that this man named Phinehas had my zeal to be able to kill Zimri and Cozbi because he made an atonement for the children of Israel. And that day, 24,000 people died, and more could have died. Too many things, church, has already died. Too many things have already died, probably in the past. We got to expose the lie. We got to expose Cozbi. Don't live with the hidden or a blatant sin. We are called to be holy because God is holy, and nobody is exempt from this call. Nobody is exempt from this call. Listen, you may be at your point of receiving your miracle. You may be at the point of receiving your breakthrough, just like the Israelites had one more year to cross over into Jericho. You may be at the point of crossing over your Jordan River to conquer the land, but there's sin lingering around. This is the sin that introduced itself into your heart. It's called Zimri and Cozbi, and it takes a Phinehas to kill him. It takes a Phinehas to drive him out. God will deal with those who cause you to stumble. You want to know what happened to Phinehas? It's 6 chapters later in the book of Numbers, we find that Moses sends Phinehas with the army to smite the Midianites for what they did. And we also find that Balaam, that prophet that was hired to curse Israel, that he couldn't curse Israel. He had to bless Israel. But we find out 6 chapters later that he counseled Balaam. He counseled Balak to seduce the Israelites. To seduce the Israelites into the worship of Baal of Peor. And so we got to be careful, because the kingdom of Satan is not holding back, church. It's not holding back, church. It's not holding back. They're not going to hold back. So why should we let our guard down? Why should we have a passive spirit? Why should we have a passive spirit? Those things that cause you to fall into sin, kill those things. Do what you must. Do what you have to. Take the extreme measures to kill those things that are causing you to cut your relationship with God.